Genesis chapter 45 tonight. We're going to work backwards a little bit tonight. I was trying to, Brother Richardson asked if I could speak tonight, but I didn't quite know exactly what I wanted to kind of look at tonight. But we're going to look at the life of Joseph tonight. Very interesting character. We're going to hit a few highlights in his life. And it is, we could study for weeks upon weeks upon weeks in about five or six chapters just about the life of Joseph. We're going to look here a little bit later in his life when he is being very used of God. And I think all of us tonight ought to have a desire to be used of God in some way, in some capacity in this life that we live in. We may not be the pastor of the church. We may not be the song director. We may not be maybe an evangelist. We may not be what we would classify as a full-time missionary tonight. But I do think that we should strive daily to be used of God, to do God's purpose for our life. And God has a plan and a purpose for all of us tonight. We know that. But getting to that point where God can use us, sometimes we have to understand it takes time to get to the point where God can really do something in your life. In the life of Joseph, it didn't happen overnight. You know the story of the life of Joseph, so there's nothing that I'm going to share with you there that you don't already know. But in order for Joseph to get to chapter 45, a lot of things are going to come to pass. And that's what we're going to look at tonight. But I want to just kind of go to chapter 45 and kind of look at a couple of verses here where God has just really worked and has blessed and is using Joseph in a special way. It says in verse number 4, of chapter 45, it says, "And Joseph said unto his brethren, Come near to me, I pray you. And they came near, and he said, I am Joseph, your brother, whom you sold into Egypt." Of course, he was sold into slavery in Egypt. We're going to look at that here in just a few moments as well. He tells them to not grieve in verse number 5, and not to be upset or angry with yourselves in verse number 5. That you sold me, he says here in verse number 5. And you'll find here at the end of verse number 5, it says, "For God did send me before you." Very key we understand that it was all in the plan of God. Joseph was one that did not harbor bitterness or anger or malice in his heart. He was someone that even later in life, when God used him in a special way here, that he even acknowledges here, that, you know, what they thought they were doing was wrong and bad, and it was on that aspect of life, but actually it was all in the plan of God from the very beginning. In verse number 6, it acknowledges here there was a famine in the land, very dire straits, if you would, a very critical time in life. Many people were not making it and struggling to just find something to eat. But look at also at verse number 7, it says, "And God sent me before you." And it's interesting here that he continues to acknowledge and give praise to God and acknowledging here that God was using him. Now, to get to the chapter 45, we're going to go back now to chapter 37. We're just kind of going backwards here, but we're going to go back and kind of go back into the life of Joseph here when some major events start to take place in his life. Now, I'm just going to tell you real quickly, before you get into chapter 37, and before we ever get to chapter 45, you're going to find in the life of Joseph a lot of detours that are going to have to take place in his life. In fact, I was thinking just the other day, my wife and family and children, we met Patty's family up around Kentucky Lake the other day and had a meal together and so forth. And they were complaining about getting to the restaurant because if you've been in that area lately, it is completely disassembled. I mean, it's a lot of detours in there, a lot of construction zone and so forth. And they were talking about what a maze it was just to try to follow the detour signs to get to the restaurant. But they made it. They were there early, they were before us. And later in the evening, Patty was trying to get a hold of them. And I think she finally got a hold of them later and found out that when they were on their way home, they had to take a detour. Well, their detour, something didn't work out. They ended up in Paducah, Kentucky, and so forth, and finally got home. So it took them a long time to get home. Now, nobody likes detours. I mean, if I'm driving, I'm the kind of person when I'm driving, I don't want a detour. I want to go. I want to get there. I want to get there as fast as I can. I don't like to stop that much. If you I can remember Brother Yandel back when we first started, or when I first started driving a little bit for the basketball team in a bus. First thing I tell them before we ever leave the parking lot is what? Does anybody know what our first thing I tell them is? Do what? To go do what? Go use a restroom. Let me tell you why. Because somebody's not going to go use a restroom. And I'm the kind of person that when we're pressed for time, I don't want to stop for any reason. So we get in the bus, and I tell them, make sure everybody use a restroom. Everybody's gone? Yep, yep. So off we go. Before we get to Central City. No joke. Before we get to Central City, guess what somebody says? I've got what? I've got to go to the bathroom. Well, I don't know. I may be a little bit cruel, but I thought I'm going to teach this individual a lesson, all right? A very valuable lesson. When you're told to go use a restroom, go use a restroom. So I just breeze right on by the exit and so forth, and off we go. But I did have to give in because a person said, we're going to have some serious problems if you don't stop at a restroom real quickly here. So I have to pull over and get off track, let them use the restroom, get them back on the bus, get back on the road, and off we go again. But nobody likes to detour. But I have found this to be very, very true in the spiritual life. Wherever God is taking you in life, whatever God's purpose, whatever God's will is for your life, for today or for tomorrow, next week, next month, for next year, I've often found to be very, very true that you never make it there in a direct line. I have often found that in the Christian life, you're going to have to go around detour after detour after detour. Now, Joseph is going to be my example tonight, even though I could have chosen many people, but I think Joseph here is going to be the ideal person to look at tonight as we look at the life that he lives. To get to chapter 45, it doesn't come easy. He's going to have to detour and go through detour of life and detour of life before he ever gets to the point where God wants him and where God wants him in chapters number 45. Now, nobody likes detours, but detours are very necessary. Why do we have detours on the highways? Well, either there was an accident on the road and it's dangerous, so they detour you away from that. Or they're making improvements on the road, so now, therefore, they have to detour around that construction area, and they try to get you off track, get you off your path, off the direction you were going, but they get you back where you were on your path somewhere down the road. Now, rarely does God take someone to their destination in life or to where God wants them in life until he takes them through some detours of life, because God has to do a little teaching along the way. God's detours are for our own good, and it's usually because there is some construction that needs to take place in our own life. Now, Joseph is a very interesting character here, and we're going to look at him real quickly. Before I do that, I did jot down several people that we could study tonight that had to go through detours of life. You take the life of Moses. Moses spent 40 years in the wilderness before he ever got to where God wanted him to be. You take the life of Abraham. It was 25 years later before he actually got and received the promises that God had already promised him earlier in his life. And basically, Abraham takes a 25-year detour. Moses takes a 40-year detour. You take the life of Paul. Paul spent 3 years in the desert. Detours. But they're necessary in the spiritual life because it's the detour of life where God is really going to use and teach us some major, major principles of life. Now, we find here in chapter 37, if you'll go there real quickly, you'll find in verse number two, you'll find that Joseph here is going to be 17 years of age. 17. It's interesting here that Joseph, as a teenager, if you really think about it, Joseph had, I would venture to say that Joseph had the most dysfunctional family in all the Bible. And when you think about Joseph, in fact, if you'll study, many people will say that Joseph is a type of Christ in the Old Testament and so forth, and a lot of resemblance there. But you look at the family that Joseph comes from, and this is I even thought about doing a lesson on this at one point about the life of Joseph and the life that he lived and how dysfunctional his family was, but yet God used him and blessed him and is going to use him mightily in life, even though he comes from one of the most dysfunctional families in all the Bible. You think about the life of Joseph. His father was Jacob. Jacob was a deceiver. He was a trickster. Jacob tried to, actually tricked his own father into giving him the birthright. And that was on earlier in the life, of course, of his father Jacob. But it kind of gives you an insight of what his family's like. Reuben, his brother, his own brother Reuben, had a relationship with one of his father's concubines. His brothers, Simeon and Levi, they were mass murderers. I mean, I think it's chapter 35 in Genesis, you'll study there. I mean, they did some ungodly things. And actually, you could classify them as mass murderers. Judah, another brother, he had a relationship with his daughter-in-law. I mean, you're talking about a messed up family. Joseph comes from a very dysfunctional family. I mean, if reality TV was back then, I mean, this would be a prime family to have reality TV about. I mean, you're talking about a crazy messed up family. And lo and behold, 17-year-old Joseph is a part of this family, not realizing all that God has in store for him. Now, he starts to realize that God has something in store for him because he has some dreams. You remember the dreams, and we'll look at those here real quickly. Here's another big mistake in chapter 37 of Genesis here. Looked at verse number 3. It's talking about his father here. Now, Israel loved Joseph more than all his children. Let me just stop real quickly and say that's not a good thing for a father to give special treatment to one of his children. And I mean, he's very open about it. You'll find in verse number 3, it says, Israel loved Joseph more than all his children because he was the son of his old age, and he made him a coat of many colors. Everybody knows the story about the coat of many colors, and we'll just make reference to that tonight. So the foundation that we're laying here is realizing he didn't have the best of beginnings. He didn't have the best home life. I mean, his father wasn't the best example in all the world, and I believe that his father, in verse number 3, was very foolish into showing special treatment unto Joseph. He had many brothers, but boy, there wasn't many in the family that he could look to as a role model. But yet Joseph, through all this, is going to be used mightily of God. Now, I don't know. Maybe the reason that God has to take so many detours in the life of Joseph is maybe because of his upbringing, because there's a lot of things that he wasn't taught as a young child or as a teenager. And maybe God has got to maybe work a little overtime maybe in his life. But we find here we've got a lot of problems. In verse number 3, by the way, verse number 3 is going to cause a lot of problems in the family. When we find here that the father loves Joseph more than all of the other children and gives him favoritism here, this is going to spark a fury of jealousy in the family. In chapter 37, verse number 4, and when his brethren saw that their father loved him more than all his brethren, they hated him and could not speak peaceably unto him. They hated him. His own family hates him. His own brothers hate him. Now, his father loves him. He loves him more than all the others. So as we can see here, we got a lot of problems to begin with. Before we ever get to chapter 45, we got to realize where God has to begin with Joseph and what he has to do with Joseph to get him to the point in chapter 45 where God can use him in a mightily way. I'm afraid sometimes that it's easy to say, you know, and maybe pray, God, use me today. Well, you better be careful when you pray something like that, because God may have to do some things in your life so he can use you. And guess what? Sometimes God is going to have to detour you in life a little bit. He's going to have to take you off the path where you think you're going and put you on an alternate path or an alternate plan in life, because God's got to mold you and God's got to work in your life to get you where he can use you greatly in life. I'm afraid many times we fail to understand that many, many times in life that, boy, we pray for God to use us and we want to be used and maybe we desire to be used of God. And those are all what we should have those ambitions in life. But we've got to also realize that in order to get where we can be used greatly of God, You got to be careful because God may have to take you down a path that you're not going to want to take. You'll find here in chapter 37 that they hated him in verse number 4. You'll find down in, down in verse number 8 that he tells them this dream. Joseph has a dream. Now, I'm going to be honest with you. Joseph, to me, as a 17-year-old young boy, he's not the brightest. He's not the sharpest pencil in the drawer. He has a dream, and there's nothing wrong with a dream. I don't know. He's going to share the dream with his brothers. You'll find in verse number 8, and his brethren said unto him, shalt thou indeed reign over us? You know what Joseph said? I had a dream. There's going to come a day, guess what, when I'm going to rule over you. Now, they already hated him in verse number 3. Now Joseph says, there's going to come a day where, you know what, I'm going to rule over you. Not only that, in verse number 8, I'm going to have dominion over you. Not only that, there's going to come a day where you're going to bow down to me. Let me just stop right here. Can you not understand and realize this probably wasn't the best thing to tell the brothers? They already hated you in verse number 3 because your father shows you favoritism and he's openly acknowledged that he loves you more than everybody else. So they already hated him in verse number 3. And now Joseph has a dream of what God's going to do with his life and kind of gives him a vision of what God's going to do in his life. And I don't know. I just look in and think, you know, it might would have been wise maybe not to give that information to the brothers. It gets worse than that. You'll find also in verse number 9 that Joseph tells them, guess what? There's going to come a day when the sun's going to bow down to me. And the stars are going to bow down to me. And the moon's going to bow down to me. Now the brothers aren't taking this too good. I mean, they were mad in verse number 3. They're furious now. You mean to tell me that you had a dream, here's the brothers, that you are somehow, some way, somewhere in life, you're going to rule over us and you're going to have dominion over us and we're actually going to bow down to you? You know, it's more than that. The stars, the sun, and the moon, it's going to bow down to me as well. Now, I'm just saying tonight, I just don't know that Joseph should have shared all this with the brothers. But you'll find, as you study the life of Joseph, it's all in the plan of God. So we find in verse number 9 that he even mentions, he says in verse number 9, and he dreamed yet another dream and told his brethren. I kind of take, maybe Joseph's a little cocky, maybe. He's a little proud. He tells his brethren in verse number 9 and said, behold, I have dreamed a dream more, and behold, the sun and the moon and even the stars, it's amazing here, are going to pretty well do as he says. Who do you think you are, Joseph? But through all this, God had a plan for Joseph. You see, God's going to need Joseph in chapter 45. There's going to be a famine in the land. God's going to need someone to be a leader during that time that has some intelligence and some know-how and can help people actually survive the famine that's going to come to the land, and his own family's going to need him someday. God knows all that, and God has a plan for Joseph, and God's going to use Joseph in a big way. But first, before we ever get to that chapter 45 where God is using him in that capacity, God is going to take Joseph on a detour, and guess what? Another detour and another detour in life, and on it goes, because God has to take Joseph through some things in life so he can be used for God later in life. There was some development, if you would, that needed to take place in the life of Joseph. You know, I'm afraid that I'm as guilty as anybody, but so few Christians today understand this philosophy. Oh, God, please use me in a big way today. You better be careful when you pray that. I'm not saying God won't use you in a big way, but it may be in order for you to be used in a big way, there's some training you need to go through. Now, Joseph is going to need some training. Now, the odds are stacked against him already. His brothers hate him. Now, his brothers aren't, you know, we're not talking about choir boys here. He's got some rough family members. And those family members are going to get together and they conspire together, and you'll find, and we're not going to be able to study it word for word, but you know how the Bible reads and how the story goes here and how his brothers become furious. In fact, if it wasn't for Reuben, he would be in a dead man. They wanted to kill him. I mean, they despised him. They hated him. You'll find in verse number 23 of chapter 37, it came to pass when Joseph would come to his brethren that they stripped Joseph out of his coat of many colors that was on him. They hated the coat. They hated him. They hated his coat and what that coat of many colors stood for, and they knew where the coat came from and the gift that it was unto Joseph and kind of the symbolic of the coat and so forth. And so first thing they do is take that coat of many colors off his back. You'll find in verse number 24, and they took him and cast him into a pit. The pit was empty. There was no water in it. And they sat down to eat bread in verse number 25, and they lifted up their eyes and looked, and behold, a company of Ishmaelites came from Gilead and their camels. And so forth. And so they realize here comes a band of people together here. And so they start conspiring together and coming up with some ideas of what are we going to do with this man Joseph here, the one they hate, the one they despise. How dare him say, I'm going to bow down to him? How dare he say that the sun and the moon and the stars are going to give obedience unto him? Who does he think he is anyway? Can't stand him. I know he's my father's favorite. But they're going to come up with a plan to do away with Joseph. You'll find in verse number 28, there's a group of people that comes by, and you're going to find here that they take Joseph in verse 28, middle of the verse, out of the pit and sold Joseph. They sell him into slavery. You see, tonight, the stripping of the coat, throwing him in the pit, and now selling him into slavery is a plan that God is going to use in a special way. You see, Joseph never dreamed that he would be in a pit sold into slavery. You see, Joseph thought that God was going to use him because he had a dream that he was going to be somebody. I mean, God was going to use him in a special way. But you see, he never realized before he ever gets to that point in life, he's got to go through a pit. He has to understand now and realize in order to get where God wants him to be in life, now he has to serve in slavery. You see, tonight, we have to understand and realize that life, you know, we've all acknowledged this, life doesn't always work out the way we had it planned. I mean, does everything work out just the way you thought it was going to in life? In fact, I find many times life doesn't work out any way I've got it planned in life. But sometimes we have to realize, you know what it is? Sometimes it's the plan of God. It's not that you're not going to get to the destination that God has for you, but you're not going to get there on the highway that you thought you were going to make it in. And I've often found this to be true. It's not going to be easy street getting to the destination. There's going to be some hardships along the way. There's going to be some trials. There's going to be some problems. There's going to be difficulties. There's going to be obstacles in life. And God puts them many times in your life, in your path, to cause you to understand some things in life. So Joseph is going to go through a detour of life. Detour number one, he had his coat stripped. Detour number two, he was thrown in the pit. Now detour number three, he's sold into slavery. Now, I don't know if he ever said this or not. I'm just kind of wondering in my own mind. I wonder if he ever said, it can't get any worse than this. And God says, oh, really? Oh, yeah, it can get a lot worse. You ever ask yourself, you ever told yourself, can't get any worse than this? Oh, be careful with those words. You'll find out real quick, life can get very, very tricky, and life can become very, very difficult very, very quickly. But listen, all of it is in the plan of God. Something interesting. Let me go to chapter 39. I'm going to run out of time way early here. Let me go to chapter 39. And this is very, very key. You have to acknowledge and realize and understand this one verse here especially. Genesis chapter 39, the Bible says in verse number 2, and the Lord was with Joseph. Boy, that right there tells me everything I need to know. The Lord was with Joseph, and he was a prosperous man. The only reason Joseph is a prosperous man is because of the Lord. You'll find that he was in the house of his master, the Egyptian. Verse number 3, and the master saw that the Lord was with him. It's very obvious. I mean, God's blessing this guy. Now, he's not in chapter 45 yet, but he's on his way. But there's some things along the way that Joseph has to learn. Now listen, if Joseph does not learn or take these detours of life that he has in his life, I mean, Joseph never thought he's ever going to be thrown in a pit. Joseph didn't think his own brothers were going to strip his own clothes off his back. Joseph didn't get up one day and think, you know, I think I'll get sold into slavery today. I mean, that never entered his mind. All Joseph knew is that God had a purpose and a plan for his life and that God was going to use him. He just didn't realize the path he's going to have to take to get there. I have no idea what tomorrow holds, nor do you. I don't know what next month holds. I don't know what next year holds in my life. I don't know where I'll be in 2 years down the road or 3 years. There are times my wife and I will talk about future events and things that we'd like to do or whatever the case may be. And we may have some goals in life, but guess what? I might not ever get to that point because God may detour me off to some other direction. Now, I think we all should pray daily, and it ought to be part of our prayer life that we ask God to use us. But you know what? That doesn't mean that you're going to reach the destination in a straight line. I found to be so true in the Christian life. You'll never reach that destination of God's will for your life in a straight line. There's a lot of detours in life. A lot of alternate plans, a lot of alternate routes that God's going to put in your life. And the reason God puts them in my life because I'm not ready for that future event yet. I've got to learn a thing or two, or three or four, or five or six, and in Joseph's case, many, 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 many lessons in his life. Verse number 39 tells us that the Lord was with him. So as he takes this alternate route, God's with him. And by the way, that's the only thing that matters anyway. And sometimes, you know, this is not part of my notes tonight. Sometimes we can get so hung up in that destination out there that we can't acknowledge and understand I'm going this way right now. I have no idea why, but God's got me going in this direction, even though my destination is down here. But I have to understand when I'm going over in this alternate plan that God has a purpose in that. God is with me. And I've got to be able to enjoy today and what God's doing in my life today and quit getting so focused on the future event down the road that we don't acknowledge and actually learn what God has for us today. Are y'all with me tonight? One of the great things I think one of the greatest aspects of the life of Joseph is that Joseph allowed these alternate plans and these alternate routes and these detours, whatever you want to call them tonight, to draw him closer to God, not drive him away from God. You'll find in chapter 39, the Bible says in verse number 2, the Lord was with Joseph. You'll find in verse number 3 that the Lord made all that he did to prosper. You'll find in verse number 3, it also says again that the Lord was with him in verse number 3. You find down in verse number 21, but the Lord was with Joseph. You find down in verse number 23, because it says, because the Lord was with him in verse number 23. All throughout the chapter, even though he hasn't reached chapter 45 yet, he acknowledges that, guess what, I may not be in chapter 45 today, but I am where I'm at, and guess what, God is with me. God is using me. It may not be what I think it's going to be someday, but you know what? God is doing something in my life. God's with him. It was obvious to everybody else. If you study, you'll find that even others would watch Joseph on a daily basis, acknowledged and realized something's different about this guy. I mean, God is with this guy. God blesses him. One of the and I think I had a preacher say one time in a message, and I haven't really studied this, but you, if you study a little bit, you'll find that, Joseph never complains one time. He doesn't gripe. He's not full of anger and bitterness, and he's not mad at the world, and he's not frustrated. I shouldn't say he's not frustrated. I'm sure he was frustrated in life. But one of the great aspects about the life of Joseph is he just took every day as it came and realized that God was with him. And you know, God, you know, we have to realize that God is not ready to give you your destination maybe today until you can handle it. And if you can't do what God has in store for you in the future, God's going to put you on another path of life so he can teach you something so you can be effective in that future event of life. Is Joseph going to be used of God in chapter 45? Greatly used of God. But boy, he just has an obstacle after obstacle after obstacle that just keeps popping up in his life. And, you know, I guess one of the biggest problems I have in life is I want the destination now. But often God says, not today. But I want it now. And God says, not today. And sometimes God says, not this week, not this month. And it may not be this year, but God still has a plan for my life. Now, what are detours of life? It's just like when you're traveling down the road and you come up and you see a sign, road closed, and it has a I hate those. I remember back to a few years ago, we were going to the airport, and it was in the middle. Was it the middle of night? Was it not? We got to the Clarksville area, and there was a massive wreck on the interstate, and they were just some guys flag, you know, some patrolmen's flagging everybody down some road. No detour signs, but I had to take a detour. And we don't know where to go. You mean what we did? We just followed where everybody else was going. And sooner or later, we find our way. We finally get back up on the interstate, miles down the interstate and so forth. We get back on the path that we were on, and off we go. And that's what's going to happen often in life. You see, a detour is an alternate path. It's an alternate plan. You weren't expecting it. It wasn't in your plan, but it was in God's plan. You weren't planning on it necessarily, and you're not going to like necessarily some of the detours of life. I hate detours. And half the time, I think somebody goes around and steals half the signs, and half the signs aren't up, and you get lost and back, you know, trying to get back on path, and you're in a hurry, and you're pressed for time, and off you're down some back road, and some, I mean, they pick the worst roads in all the world to have a detour on. We don't like them, but it's just a part of life. You see, Joseph's detour took him someplace he never planned on going. I mean, Joseph never dreamed that he's going to be a slave. He thought he's going to rule the world. He thought he was going to be blessed of God. He thought he was going to be used of God. And he's going to be, but he's first of all got to take a different path to get to that destination. It wasn't a clear, straight shot for Joseph. You see, a detour could be a place that you must go to become what you need to be in order to be effective when you reach the destination. Our time's out, and I could say a million more things, and you'll find that even in his life, in chapter 39, that he even, you know, he's blessed of God, used of God, prospering in life, and even in chapter 39, down in verse number 37, you'll find that a lady makes an advancement to him. You know the story here. And you're going to find that he's going to suffer. You ever thought about this? Joseph, when you get into chapter 39, Joseph actually has to suffer for doing what's right. Now, I'll be honest with you tonight. I don't think there's anything harder in all the world to go through than suffering for doing what is right. Now, when I suffer because of something I've done wrong, I can live with that. But it's tough to suffer when you did the right thing. And thank God that he passed on the pass of the woman that was passed to him. But he's going to pay for it. You see, sometimes when you do exactly what God has told you to do, you're going to have to pay the price, and Joseph is going to pay the price. And, I mean, just some of these are just some of the examples, and you know the story, but you go back and read before you ever get to chapter 45, Joseph had to go down an alternate plan. I mean, as soon as he gets on top of the world, it's brought back down. I mean, he was a slave, he prospered, became very well known, and he was put into a position of leadership, and it all comes tumbling down. He goes to prison. He even prospers in prison. But it all comes back to the simple fact of this. God has a plan for each individual in this room. He has a destination for you to go to. But don't think it's just a one clear shot. It's a direct shot to that destination. Because often, if not many times, maybe not multiple times, God comes along someday and says, you know, I think I need to take you down this path today. You didn't plan on going down that path, but that's the path God put you on. You go through it, you get back on track, now I see my destination. Off I go, and lo and behold, today God says, I think you need to go down this path. You need to experience what's down this road for a little period of time. I didn't plan on it, don't maybe necessarily like it, but that's what God wants, God knows best, and off I go down that road. And then sooner or later, somewhere in life, you reach those destinations that God has for you. But always remember, it's never a direct shot. It's not a straight line. Many times, it may be a detour. I'll say this and I'll be done. I don't know if you've ever been on a detour or not, but we've been on some detours. We go down a road closed, detour off, and somewhere down through that detour, we get off track and get lost. Now, for me to get back to where I need to be on the main highway, I first of all have got to get myself back on track with the detour. Does that make sense? You see, you may be lost sometimes and get off track in life, and maybe you're on a detour that God has for your life and you didn't like it. Maybe for whatever reason you rebelled against it and you took the wrong turn and God said turn left, but you turned right. You know, that's okay. You can still get back on the detour highway, learn what you need to learn, and get back up on the main road. That's God's plan of how God works to teach us so that we can actually reach chapter 45 where Joseph is used in a mighty way. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do love you. We thank you for this evening.